It's the start of 2024 and time to do another Quo Milestones. This year, 2024, is the year in which Spare Parts turns 55 years old. This is their second album to be released after picturesque matchstickable messages from the status quo. It continues their psychedelicness of the previous one before going full on, or almost full on, boogie with Mark Kelly's Greasy Spoon. It was produced by John Schroeder, and you could say it's simply a follow-up to the previous one, you know, because it's still in that psychedelic pop, psychedelic rock vein. But this one, they've added strings. There are other elements in there. I think there's a tiny bit more emphasis on harmonies and, you know, backing vocals and layers and everything else. Roy Lines is still a member of the band at this point, and his presence is certainly felt, certainly on the opening track, Face Without a Soul, which all of these songs have really strong melodies, in my opinion. Just sometimes the execution in hindsight, maybe it was great at the time. If you were there, let me know. Just doesn't always hit the mark. To me, the guitars are, in this case, a little bit too high in the mix because you've got those string elements in there, but sometimes you can't hear them. Sometimes everything just feels like it's turned right up to the max. It's like they're trying to do, you know, like Beatles Revolution, where everything's just up. Sometimes the vocals on tracks like The Clown kind of sound like they've been overdubbed later in a different studio somewhere. You know, it doesn't feel cohesive. But that's just a few like production notes. I'm not particularly a producer of any quality myself, so maybe I'm missing a trick there. Maybe I don't understand something. But like I say, there are more elements in there, and I think that makes it really interesting. As I say, we've got Face Without a Soul, You're Just What I Was Looking For Today, Are You Growing Tired of My Love, which was a single, and Rick does such a lovely vocal on that, doesn't he? It's just so... Well, in hindsight, it's so unquo, but at the same time, it could have been a classic. Could have been. Antique Angelique, which is the first song in which Bob Young has a co-credit on a Quo record. So there is that. That's a historical moment right there. So Ends Another Life, which is a Lancaster composition. I do love that because it's got kind of positive things, and you know, there's a positive end to it, even though it's kind of gloomy, if you know what I mean. What I find with other tracks on this album, like So Ends Another Life and Mr. Mind Detector, The Clown, they kind of sound, maybe even Velvet Curtains to a lesser extent, they sound like they should be on some kind of like spy movie soundtrack, especially Mr. Mind Detector, that kind of sounds like they brought George Martin in. It kind of sounds like a George Martin-y type thing going on. Could never work out who's singing on that. If somebody can let me know, it kind of sounds like Rick, but it kind of sounds like Alan at the same time. Little Miss Nothing is a little bit of a favorite. Nothing At All is possibly one of the most beautiful songs that they have ever recorded, despite its gloomy subject. I mean, this is quite a gloomy album, really, like When I Awake, you know, When I Awake, She's Gone. This is one album I don't actually own, but I am very familiar with a lot of these tracks because I, like many others, have bought those Pi compilations over the years, like At Their Best and, you know, Golden Hour and stuff, and you do become very familiar with some of these recordings. Little Miss Nothing, I think, is literally on nearly every one that I've ever seen. And that's how we become familiar with them. So I can imagine there are a lot of Quo fans that don't have this. And I think because it didn't really sell very well the first time, from what I understand. So therefore, the album on vinyl is quite scarce these days, apart from, you know, the odd re-release. Same with CD later on. Like, there's re-releases, but whereas the later albums, you can always pick them up cheaper somewhere, you know, like for £5 or £6. I don't think I've ever seen a spare parts for anything more than £10 to £15. And it will be because it's not as popular as the later material, even though Pye spent years like re-releasing these songs to kind of capitalize on the success that they had with Vertigo. So that's just the way I view it anyway. That was Spare Parts. What do you think of it? It's 55 years old this year. Next up is the album turning 50 this year. It got to number 2 on the charts. It's Quo from 1974 with this iconic cover art from Dave Field. I remember the first time I saw this artwork, the Quo tree, as I shall call it. And to me, it looks like a rock album. It looks iconic. And I just love kind of the little touches, the fact that Alan is obviously in mid-song here, and he features on a number of songs on this album in the lead vocal, a lot of very memorable performances. And then, of course, you know, Rossi looking to the side, either harmonizing or looking slightly puzzled, however you want to read it. I think that's the beauty of this cover, is that you can look at it and you can kind of go, well, what were they thinking, or what kind of thing are they going with here? So as I look down this track listing for Quo, I'm seeing a lot of tracks that are very much favourites in the Quo community, but really only 2.5 of these are live favourites. So I'm thinking specifically of Backwater, Just Take Me, which in the early years of them playing it, there's actually one of them playing it at Wembley. So do go and check that out from 74. The footage isn't the clearest in the world, but it's definitely a record of them up to that point. And I remember first seeing that on the Party Ain't Over Yet DVD and thinking that Lancaster was possibly the coolest person that I had ever seen. And of course, Just Take Me, this album, in addition to being very Parfit Lancaster heavy, is also quite big on the old drums as well. Coughlin has a lot of shining moments. We've got Just Take Me, that, you know, that. I mean, that live was just outstanding. The drum solo in Slow Train, just the way that the band are just cohesive, you know, just together with like Don't Think It Matters and Drifting Away, you know, just straightforward rockers with a lot of variation that almost feel like they come out of the Dog of Two Head sessions a little bit, you know, in the way in which they have all these different sections and they're just experimenting. And then just before that, 8-minute Slow Train with a bit of country in there. There's sort of marching band type things, you know, all these different things thrown in for Slow Train. Just before that, you've got Lonely Man, the Parfit song, which is just outstanding, isn't it? Possibly it could have been a single. And again, this is one of those albums, if they'd released Backwater, they might have taken them in a different direction. That would have had Lancaster as lead vocal, of course, which never happened on a single, on an A-side anyway. But if they'd gone with Lonely Man, I mean, I remember hearing about when Living on an Island was released and people said, oh, this is very different. It's a very different thing. And yet, Lonely Man, 5 years previously, is right there. I've talked a lot with this album about tracks that could have been singles and probably should have been, but the one that they went for was Break the Rules, which was a little bit more of a standard, almost like fast country bopper, you know, with sort of different bluesy, rock and rolly elements in. But to me, that track sounds completely different to the rest of the album. It doesn't really fit in there, but that's just my view. So that is Quo from 1974, 50 years old this year. 45 years ago, the album Whatever You Want was released. The cover with, I'm only assuming, is like a press junket of some kind, because we've got somebody with a camera. There's sort of, you know, several people with cameras. They're supposed to be sort of celebrities, aren't they? Some of them are, anyway. And that's kind of the theme throughout the album. It's a very concept-y album cover, this one, because a lot of the songs within it are kind of about fame and expectation and the press and what people think of you and stuff like that. And songs like High Flyer, you know, Here We Go Another 24 Hours, kind of autobiographical, along with Breaking Away, Four Rockers Rolling, and A Poet in the Wings. I wonder who they were talking about. So lots of very, I keep using the word iconic, but lots of iconic Quo tunes on here, such as the aforementioned Whatever You Want. Living on an Island, as I mentioned previously, was a hit single, seen as something different. But as you and I, as Quo fans know, they have basically dipped their toe in and out of that softer, more kind of acoustic side of things. Side two starts with Come Rock With Me Rockin' On, which is sort of a medley, which they've performed live in later years. I do like that. It's got a great rhythm to it. And the way in which I love how Come Rock With Me and Rockin' On, like, it's the same chorus, isn't it? Just done in a slightly different way. We've got Shady Lady, which starts with that very loud intro. Who Asked You, which has a music video, which I really liked. Whenever I was angry, I'd go and listen to Who Asked You. That's a Lancaster composition. It's just got that bite to it. You know, there you go again, telling me the same mistakes I made. It's like he's replying to a bunch of newspaper journalists about, you know, repetition or whatever. And of course, then we go on to Your Smiling Face, which, you know, I need to see your smiling face again. Could be talking about a partner, or he could be talking about the fans in general. Other tracks that are also huge on this album: Runaway, High Flyer, Breaking Away, that long song at the end. I mean, goodness, the way it kind of just goes into a bluesy shuffle at the end. So that is Status Quo, Whatever You Want, 45 years old. So to touch on this for a moment, we'll certainly cover it in greater detail with fans who were there, but this year is the 40th anniversary of the End of the Road tour, obviously. It was a time when they were talking about not going on tour anymore, maybe producing some albums because, you know, they still had some left and things. And it turned out not to be, because a couple of years later, a configuration of Status Quo were back on the road performing the greatest hits and some new stuff as well. So yeah, End of the Road, 40 this year. Did you buy the video that came out, the two videos that came out, End of the Road and More from End of the Road? Have you purchased any of the other things that were released around that time, such as 12 Gold Bars? I think I've got a record round here of the two volumes of 12 Gold Bars, and it has 1984 written on it. So yeah, 40th anniversary of End of the Road. The concert at Milton Keynes was filmed. Did you go? Let me know. I would love to talk to you for the podcast. We're getting slightly more up to date, and I'm going to say it like that because I'm 34. So if I say it's a long time ago, then I'm aging myself up somewhat. This is 35 this year. Perfect Remedy by Status Quo, released in 1989. And this album cover, the cover of Perfect Remedy, is perhaps the start of, I'm not sure if it was really done before this, maybe this is where it started, somebody can correct me, but the two guitars, Rossi and Parfitt's guitars being lined up in this configuration, is this one of the first times that they did that? Maybe it was done in a program previously. And of course, the jukebox back here. This kind of looks like the cover art of a covers album, doesn't it, really? Like, that would have made more sense because it's a jukebox, you know. This kind of implies these are things that you know. Whereas, you know, all of the stuff on here is original material. So it is a bit odd. Maybe they're talking about, you know, familiarity of sound, but it didn't chart particularly well, this one. But I happen to have a bit of a fondness for it. Little Dreamer, cracker of a track. Some of the production elements on this album perhaps haven't aged particularly well. The drum sound, like Ain't Complaining, is quite gated, or is it degated, or whatever it is. But it's not the greatest with that. But this album is a tiny bit more rocking, bit more on that rocking edge than Ain't Complaining was. Ain't Complaining felt like a pop album. This feels like maybe a soft rock to rock album as opposed to hard rock that they'd been doing previously. Not At All, which was released as a single, kind of a ploddy thing. Heart on Hold, which feels a bit throwaway. Lots of references to computers. I think that's an Andy Bowen track. Perfect Remedy, which, again, they're doing a lot of quite longer songs in this period, like Little Dreamer and Perfect Remedy, that are very good. They've got nice little sections in them. Address Book. Say no more. I'll talk about that another time. The Power of Rock, which is arguably one of the best things they did in the 1980s and should have been a single. And I think it was lined up to be a single. But it just didn't happen because Anniversary Waltz happened. And that got to number two with The Power of Rock on the B-side. So does that mean that The Power of Rock is a number two single? Before you say that's not how it works, how many people bought Funky Moped by Jasper Carrot for The Magic Roundabout on the B-side? So, The Way I Am is on side two. I like that. Not very Quo-like, very 1980s, but some great solos in there. Tommy's in Love, say no more. Man Overboard, to top it all, My A-String's Gone Again. Going Down for the First Time, more of a country offering. Throw a Line, which now I can never listen to Roxy Music the same way again, because anyone notice it's got a very similar chord progression to Virginia Plain by Roxy Music. It's a very similar chord progression. And the fact that in that song is the line, throw me a line, I'm sinking fast. Well, this is throw a line, I'm sinking fast. So it's very similar. Maybe it's just something that I have noticed over time. There is a little section in the Greg Harper book, Status Quo in the 1980s, about the song, but there's no mention of that. There's only stuff about the scale and Francis Rossi writing with Bernie Frost. But do go and check out my review of the book. And I actually like the song Throw Her a Line. I think it's a very catchy thing. Greg describes it as a pretty melody, and which it is. So that is Perfect Remedy, released 35 years ago in 1989. Turning 30 years old this year is Quo's 1994 album, Thirsty Work. This is actually one of the first studio albums from Quo that I ever received. So to me, I've got a bit of a fondness for it. I've always been slightly underwhelmed, although intrigued, by this cover, which features the bottle with the words Thirsty Work on it, on a beach. I wonder if anyone's tried to recreate this cover in some way. I wonder if it's actually shot anywhere, or whether this is simply made up in a studio. Maybe someone's got like a blue backdrop with a sand pit and then a bottle. I'm not sure quite what it was saying in regards. I mean, it does have kind of a sea, beachy feel to it. I guess it's a little bit more laid back. I mean, it's not exactly Jack Johnson, but it is a tiny bit more relaxed in its style than other albums in their catalogue. It's one of their longest up to this point, I think, along with Rock Till You Drop. And it's the CD era, you see. It's wanting to try and squeeze as many tracks as possible onto the album. So we begin with Going Nowhere, which they played in their set, I think, for a little while. And that it's a great song. It's a really great song. A lot of great melodies in this album. Very musical. Lots of harmonies. Lots of little touches. It's not what Quo perhaps are known for in the wider public, but it's just bringing a lot of these other things up into the fore. The John David composition, I Didn't Mean It, is next, along with Confidence. Point of No Return, which is beautiful. I just love this album, and I'm trying not to fanboy too much. And I realize loads of comments on YouTube and on social media telling me, I'm sure, that like I'm wrong about it. And the band have said themselves, loads of songs on here, 16 of them to be exact, not exactly right for Quo. But as a pop album and as a soft rock album, as whatever album it is, I think it's fairly decent to me. Sail Away, Like It or Not, Soft in the Head, Queenie, which is a little bit more on the Quo thing. Lover of the Human Race, got sort of a late 80s feel to it. Sherry Don't Fail Me Now, which was released as a single and is incredibly high, possibly the highest sort of lead vocal, you know, general lead vocal across the entire song for Quo. That chorus is so high. Rude Awakening Time, another live favourite from that period. Back on My Feet, Restless, which is a cover version. Chow Chow, Tango, which has got some really interesting ideas in there. And Sorry, which was a track that Rossi and Frost wrote for Demis Roussos back in the early 80s. So there's a little bit of using up, a little bit of cover versions and reusing things. And then you've just got like solid new songs written by the band. That is Thirsty Work, released 30 years ago this year. What do you think of it? Do let me know in the comments below. Next up is an album that Status Quo released in 1999, and it's often, I think, touted as somewhat of a return to form, although that would later kind of fall upon heavy traffic, that praise. But I think for those who heard it at the time, it was definitely a tiny bit more real and a bit more stripped back than previous efforts, Under the Influence, with this cover, which I know the band weren't entirely keen on. I mean, Under the Influence, the song is about a dream. Under the Influence, the album cover, is about pubs, because, you know, under the influence of alcohol. But, you know, the fork thing, the bendy fork thing, or whatever it is, that other cover that is now on the front cover of Under the Influence on reissues, on some of them anyway, is, I think, a better, more intriguing cover. But they needed to emphasize this was a Status Quo album, and it coincides with the pub tour that they did on this year, which means it's also the 25th anniversary of the pub tour. Did you go to the pub tour? Do let me know. Did they come to your local, or did you have to go to somebody else's local? Would love to hear your stories. Please do come on. So we start with 20 Wild Horses, which, again, every time I hear that song now, I just get so like nostalgic. Under the Influence, love that introduction at the beginning. And the words, it was one song I used to sing as a kid all the time, because it just had such great words in it, you know, on the train to nowhere, in another nightmare, like, and yeah, apparently Rossi had that melody in his head for years, you know, something that he wrote down years and years ago. Round and Round, Shine On, which is a great number for Rick. It's one of his kind of darker numbers. He's not done one of those for a little while up to this point. Really, the last one was probably Man Overboard on Perfect Remedy. He sort of used to do that type of thing, but there's like a glimmer of hope at the end of it. Little White Lies, I love the harmony on that chorus. Keep 'em coming, Little Me and You. Making Waves, I love Making Waves. I love I love the way the band kind of just come in on it, you know, and it's so loud and in your face and yet still there. And again, very nostalgic. Blessed Are the Meek, which I know is very much a favourite of Francis Rossi. I feel like he's played it on his solo tour, certainly. He might have also played it in an acoustic setting. It perhaps should have appeared on a lot more of their acoustic material. Roll the Dice, which is a tiny bit more throwaway, but does have that da-da-da-da thing going on. Very catchy chorus as well. Not Fade Away is a Buddy Holly cover. I love the way they kind of do it in their own style. They haven't gone and copied the original. It kind of has its own thing, I think. And The Way It Goes, which was released as a single and performed on many shows, including Noel's House Party, of all things. Remember that? Yeah. That is Status Quo, Under the Influence, released in 1999, 25 years ago. I got it on my birthday that year. So before I talk about the next studio album, I should mention a couple of projects that were sort of in between them, such as the Excess All Areas book and the compilation album as well, which brought two new tracks which were released as singles and did extremely well in the charts. I think one was like top 30 and one was like top 20 placing. They were Thinking of You and You'll Come Round, which again were building on the Heavy Traffic thing, which then preceded the Party Ain't Over Yet album to be released a year later. Should also mention that this year is the 10th anniversary of the Frantic Four reunion tours, the second one in 2014, where they kind of changed a few things around and I think made it even more Frantic Four. I so wish I'd gone to the second one as well as the first one, because just to hear that 4,500 times with the extra elements, I think would have been pretty powerful stuff. A DVD, Blu-ray and CD release were put out shortly afterwards. They are fantastic. It's loud, it's heavy, it's raw, it's the Frantic Four. And that was their last time of rocking. And it's just fantastic. Even all this time now, I just have hairs on the back of my neck. Just fantastic. Wonderful. So let's move on to another project that is 10 years old. We are talking about Aquostic, Stripped Bare, which has that very interesting cover with Rick and Francis. Again, Rick and Francis, but the back cover makes up for it because the whole band, including Leon Cave in his first official album appearance for Status Quo, he previously appeared with Francis Rossi in a solo capacity. That cover was very interesting. It caught a lot of attention, and the album was big. You know, it went on to that gig, didn't it, at the Roundhouse, which I know of a lot of people who went to that and were very impressed with what they saw. It was broadcast on TV, on radio. You know, it was a big deal because it was showing Quo melodies that we knew were always in there. You know, aside from Rocking All Over the World and stuff, I think the general public kind of forgot about the amount of albums that they had released and the amount of songs they've written themselves, where it's like big melodies and really interesting ideas. And maybe the execution of it wasn't to every fan's taste. because they had a string section, they had an accordion player. For an album called Stripped Bare, and there are more instruments on it than there would be on a General Quo record. I mean, there's a slight thing there, but I get what they were saying. It was just doing it in a different style. Pictures of Matchstick Men on there. Well, it just works, doesn't it? We have Down the Dustpipe. No. You know, just so many album tracks here getting an airing. There's a lot of tracks that fans like you and I know, like Claudie, Little Lady, you know, all of those things, which have always been beautiful, even in their fully electronic way, right? Fully electric way. But here they just take into another level. All the Reasons. I mean, who knew they were going to sing All the Reasons again, you know, that Rick was going to get a chance to do that. Obviously, you have all the singles from down the years in this acoustic format. Down, Down, Rain, Rocking All Over the World, Again and Again, Whatever You Want, Burning Bridges, you know, etc. But Rock Till You Drop, you know, I think that was a single, wasn't it? But who knew that they'd revisit that? Don't Drive My Car is another one where I think Rick said it's like a Django Reinhardt thing, you know, really flipped everybody's perceptions on their head. And I remember at the Roundhouse, somebody on Twitter said that's the folkiest version of Whatever You Want I've ever heard. And that was meant as a compliment. You know, it was really showcasing what the band themselves have done over the years, what all the fans knew, that underneath all of that, you know, all of that kind of boogie stuff, there were melodies in there. And it really does work. It wasn't everybody's taste. And I know some people I've heard say that Rain was like their favorite track on the album because it was just stripped back and that's what they expected the entire album to be. But I guess they were just trying to add extra color and extra bits and pieces, you know, and just change it up a bit and really go for something different. But yeah, as it has been in the last few years with Rossi doing acoustic versions of things in a live setting, it could have worked, certainly, if it was even more stripped bare. So what do you think of this album, Acoustic Stripped Bare? Please do let me know in the comments below. So lastly, for milestones this year, although I may have missed any, if I have, please let me know, is Backbone, which was released 5 years ago this year. Can you believe it? I can't. I mean, utterly amazing. Doesn't time fly? I remember first seeing this album cover for Backbone and loving the minimalist style of it and the fact that the album came in sort of a digipack as opposed to, like, you know, an old school CD, which I feel like one of the acoustic albums did, but it's a fairly recent innovation when it comes to Quo, I think. I love kind of the paddedness of it as well. So to start with, we have Waiting for a Woman, which builds up in its way, doesn't it? It kind of brings in each instrument, and then you've got that kind of that motif that just keeps going with the Waiting for a Woman vocals and lyrics. And it's very catchy. It's very kind of laid back as well. It's very confident in the way in which the album starts. Cut Me Some Slack is the next track, and it's a bit of a legendary thing, isn't it? Because it's become a fan favourite. Liberty Lane was released as a single. I remember the first time I heard it, I was listening to Ken Bruce on Radio 2 when he was there, and I was blown away. I thought, it sounds different. It's kind of got a different sound. It's maybe a tiny bit more produced than it has been for a while. I've heard some comments about the drum sound and sort of held back a bit, you know, that's kind of what I've been hearing even up to now. But I liked it. I loved the melody. I loved the kind of different approach to it. And yet it still sounded like Status Quo, you know, but just modern, you know, it was just a very modern way in it. I love the playfulness of, I see you're in some trouble. It's kind of got that almost like late 80s chuggy thing going on, which is really cool. You know, like it's something off Ain't Complaining or Perfect Remedy or even like Back to Back, you know, where it's like da 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 da, you know, love it. Backing Off, which works really well live from what I understand, although I haven't seen them live in recent years. I remember them raving about it in the EPK and then listening to it thinking, what were they talking about? Like, I'm not getting it. But when I saw the video of it in a live setting, it did suddenly make sense. I Want to Run Away With You is sort of a one of those things where it feels a bit by numbers, but still, you know, you got to love a bit of Quo kind of chugging away in a key and then singing over it, which, you know, is what it kind of feels like. But they've done plenty of songs like that. I'm thinking of things like Polly, you know, All We Really Want to Do, stuff like that, where it doesn't matter, you know, it's just good fun. Backbone, which has got that kind of, he was playing at the beginning of Down Down, wasn't he? He was sort of experimenting with things. And that is how that came about. Better Take Care is a John David composition. A demo came out years ago with John David's vocals on it. And they have made their own version here. Falling Off the World, which is Leon Cave, isn't it? I think that's one of his songs. I'm so glad that he got to make an original album, because yeah, he was on the acoustic albums, but they were mainly re-recordings and cover versions, and there were a couple of newer tracks on there and stuff, but you know, full new album, great. Get Out of My Head is the next one. That is a Richie Malone song. That's his first lead vocal for Quo on record. He'd already been singing Mystery Song, etc. there. I feel like he might have done Little Lady at some point as well. It's a good one, isn't it? It's a good one. I mean, to me, there is another track which was a bonus track, which is even better, but we'll get there. Running Out of Time. I remember Francis mentioning in an interview once that someone came up to him and said, oh, that's good. You've never sung about climate change before. Never too late, anybody. So Crazy Crazy is a bonus track. I don't really understand why there were bonus tracks. Why don't you just put them on the album? Crazy Crazy's bonus track, it's sort of a country thing. And then Face the Music, which is arguably one of the best things they've done for 10 years, you know, in original sense. Because, oh, goodness. I mean, Richie Malone really pulled it out of the bag with that one, didn't he? Really did. Because it just has all the elements. It's like he's been listening to essentially every album I've talked about in these milestones. It's like he's been listening to a bit of Quo. It's like he's been listening to Whatever You Want and then a little bit of the 80s stuff in there, because you've got that synth. You've got also, you know, the riff in there, which is a little bit Breaking Away in its makeup. I mean, and then it goes into kind of that melodic thing that's, I'm excited to hear it again. It's just a fun track, isn't it? I love all those melding of different influences and different things. And I think it was released on vinyl and possibly as a single. It's certainly up on Spotify as a single, but they should have pushed it even further. Arguably, that should have been on the album, should have been the lead single instead of Liberty Lane. And who knows? But that isn't to knock Liberty Lane, because it was being played live, which I think Face the Music was perhaps a little bit harder to do with that. But yeah, Liberty Lane, great track. Backbone, can you believe it is 5 years old now? What did you make of it when it came out? What do you think about it now? Do let me know. So we have reached the end of the milestones for 2024. But this isn't the last time I should be talking about any of these things, because at different points in the year, I shall be covering these albums with fans, maybe even with members of the band. Who knows? Who knows what 2024 will bring? As a band, Quo are going out on tour this year. I think there is some Francis Rossi dates later on in the year, so go and check out their website for that. I'm looking forward to discussing all of these things in much further detail. Have I missed any milestones? Do let me know in the comments below, and I will see you again for another edition of the Quocast.